The Bible says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And then this is the important verse from this passage of Scripture. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. John the Baptist was that messenger appointed by God to be the forerunner of Christ. The Jews sent a messenger to John the Baptist one time asking him who he was. And he said, I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not that other prophet that the Bible talks about. And so these men that came from the Jews, from the priests and the rulers and the synagogue, they said, well, then who are you? And John answered their question by saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. That voice, John the Baptist, introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. You see, all men are sinners. They were in Jesus' day. They are today. I think there's some mighty fine folks in this room, and there's some folks in this room that I just met this morning. But I want to tell you this morning, every single one of us are sinners. All of us have disobeyed God. All of us have done something that God said not to do. And the Bible tells us there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death that we experienced this week as a church family when we saw our sister Brenda Mills go to heaven. It's not that kind of death that is the wages of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. And since the Garden of Eden, God has taught us that only a blood sacrifice can pay for sin. You see, he taught us that in the Garden of Eden when he had to slay an animal to make coats to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. He taught us that night in Egypt when the blood of the Passover lamb was spread on the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over the house and not go in and kill the firstborn. It was taught every time the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood from the sacrifice, once a year, into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, taking the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkling it on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people one more year. And all of those things and all the other things in the Bible that teach us about a blood sacrifice were just a preview. They were just a picture of what God one day would do. Then came Jesus. Again, introduced by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God. The only begotten, virgin-born Son of God. He left heaven, took the form of a man, lived among us for 33 years, tempted, the Bible says, in all points like as we, yet without sin. And God allowed us as mankind to take him, hang him on a cross. And while hanging between heaven and earth, God took every one of my sins and he took every one of your sins and he placed them on his Son. And on the cross, Jesus paid the price that you and I owe for every one of our sins. And so I say, like John, behold the Lamb of God, whose blood washes away every sin. Behold the Lamb of God, whose blood washes white as snow. Why would Jesus lay down his life for sinful man? There's nothing about it, about us, that would deserve that. There's nothing we can do to merit it. There's nothing that we could ever pay to justify the sacrifice that God the Father and God the Son gave that day on Calvary's Hill. There's only one reason that God would give his Son. There's only one reason that Jesus would lay down his life. And that reason was his love. His love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then it says in another verse, "But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," while we were yet in our sin, "Christ died for us." I read for you from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because you know, sometimes a preacher just needs to rely on the Word of God, because there's no better way to say it than the way the Bible says it. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which fall asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because sin has separated us, we cannot get to God on our own. We need the way. Because our world does not offer us answers, we need the truth. And because our own sin condemns us, we need life. Jesus is the way, the path to Almighty God himself. He is the truth, unwavering, unchangeable truth, the very Word of God in the flesh. And he is the life, abundant life, now and for all eternity. We're all sinners. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As sinners, we are under the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. Again, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. But the good news of the Bible, the great news of the Bible, is that God loves us. He loves us. I want you to think about that just for a second. He loves you. I read the verse a minute ago from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And that's a wonderful verse, but until you can say it and put your name in the place of the word "world," "For God so loved Daryl," "For God so loved Lori," and "For God so loved Roy." And until you can get to the place that you can put your name in that verse and understand and know that God loves you, you've missed the whole point of the gospel. He loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. Yeah, for the sins of the whole world, but for your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I wish that I knew the words to tell you this morning that could get inside of your mind and your heart to make you understand how much God loves you, to make you understand the price that was paid for our sin, to make you understand how great the gift is that he offers to every single person. I can only depend on the Holy Spirit to do that, because only he can help us really understand how great was our sin, how big was God's love, and how wonderful is the gift of eternal life that's offered to every single person. But just like any other gift, as we come to the close of the service, just like any other gift, it must be received. The Bible says in the book of John, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I know most parents this morning got their little ones something for Easter, an Easter basket, some Easter clothes, a toy. And that little child graciously received that gift. Maybe not so graciously, but they took it. You know, that's exactly what God wants us to do this morning. He wants us to take his gift. How must the heart of God break when we're offered the gift of eternal life that was paid for by the blood of his son? How must his heart break when we refuse it? You may be here this morning never having received that gift. And you might say, "Preacher, how do I receive it this morning?" It's simple. It's as easy as ABC. A, just admit that you're a sinner. And by the way, it only takes one sin to make us a sinner. And so if you can only see in your whole life one sin, just know this morning that that makes you a sinner, because the Bible says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died for you. Yes, he died for the whole world, but he died for me. That's what makes it special to me. He died for me. He died for you. And then C, call upon him. Call upon him and ask him to save you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Many could stand this morning because they've done that. And they could testify, if they would, it's true. There was a time in my life that I realized I was a sinner, and I put my belief on Jesus Christ, and I asked him, and he saved me. And they would testify this morning that if you'll do the same thing, he'll save you too. We're going to give you a chance to do that in just a second. I'm going to have a word of prayer. The service will be over, but we have what we call an invitation. We'll sing a song. I'll be down front. If you're here this morning and there's never been a time in your life where you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'd just like you to step out from where you sat, walk down the aisle, and I'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we heard it in song. Thank you we heard it from your book this morning. And you promise us that your word will not return void. And so I pray for those that are here on this Easter Sunday morning that have never received the gift purchased by Christ on the cross, in the grave, through the resurrection. They've never asked Jesus to save them. Father, make this day their day of salvation. Make this hour their hour of salvation. Help them to call upon Christ and seek his salvation. Speak to all the Christians out of here. Remind us of what we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to leave this place in a moment rejoicing because of the risen Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.